Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Fred Jackson and Steve Paisley. Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
So, fellas, we were talking, it's countdown to election. What are we, 10 days now?
12 days.
12 days.
Mm-hmm.
Countdown to election day. And I mentioned an hour, 45 minutes ago or so, I think Trump's going to win. And people might say, why do you say that? Well, because I feel like it. You know, I'm just kidding. That's remember when we were kids, that's the answer you give to some, because I just feel like it. Well, I have reasons to believe this. Now, first of all, Walker pointed this out to me, Walker Wildman, and he got it from somewhere, and I've seen this analysis by others on these political sites. So I say I think Trump's going to win for this reason. At this very stage of the election, I'm talking about 12 days out, in 2016, Hillary Clinton was showing up as winning the swing states by 5 points, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
5 or 6 points. You remember this?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Okay. In 2020, it was the same thing with Biden. He was winning in the polls 4, 5, 6 points.
And we know Democrats lost both of those elections.
You just stole my thunder, Steve.
I'm sorry.
I set the whole thing up so I could knock it out of the park. I put the ball on the tee, and then you pushed me away, and you hit the ball out. Because you wanted credit, Steve, and it's a bad human nature trait that we all have to contend with. Now, you got it right. Therefore, if you go on 16 and go on 20, as I've just defined it, and you look at the polls right now, Steve, right? Today, Trump and Harris are virtually tied in all the swing states, with Trump leading in most of them by 1 point or so.
Yeah.
So that says if the under polled Trump voter is out there, like it happened in 16 and 20, Trump's going to win all those swing states, or at least enough of them to win the election.
I just wanted to be an election denier one last time.
Does that make sense, Fred?
Well, it makes sense because you go back in history, as you've done, 16 and 20, and now you look at where we are today. If you go to Real Clear Politics, we reference that a lot, and you look at what's happening. Wall Street Journal out today with Trump up 3 points nationally. CNBC.
That's huge. That's a national survey. They're all swing states.
Yes.
I don't remember the last time a Republican led in a national poll, Hardy, because there's so many Democrats in New York and California.
Yes. A CNBC poll has Trump up by 2 points
nationally.
Today,
wow.
This morning.
Wow.
So the trends are all in Trump's favor.
Right.
That's why I think you're seeing the desperation set in the Harris camp. And they're trying to throw the dirt, you know, see if they throw the mud, see if any of it sticks. But I agree with you, Tim. I think the vast majority of voters have made up their minds already. And I think the big issues are the economy, and the border security. Those are the two big things.
I have my list of four big things, but go ahead, Steve.
I am a sports fan. I love watching sports on TV. It'll connect here in a second. And I love a good pregame show, you know, where they talk about the strengths and weaknesses of the offenses and the defense. But eventually, I want to get to the game. And it feels like we've been in about a year-long pregame show for this election.
Yeah,
I'm ready to
true.
Get there. I am just ready to get there.
I hear you, brother. So I have my list of four things I consider the four top issues, and this is my order of priority. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have a different one. You guys may have a different order, but I think we're going to be similar on our priorities. But So I'm going to give you my four. You going to give me my four? Let me start with number four.
Yep.
That way we lead up to number one.
There
everybody
you
wonders,
go.
What is number one?
It is number one.
Number four is the economy for me.
Okay.
The economy is number four. Not it's hugely important. It impacts the whole country. And I understand that, but I'm going to get to my the ones that I consider more important.
These are now. Let me just clarify.
Yeah,
these
ahead.
Are your priorities for voting, or yes. what you think the country is thinking.
No, me.
Okay,
me. The country's not. Economy is probably going to be number one for the country. For me, it's number four.
Okay,
because I think by and large the United States economy is on autopilot. I don't think a president affects the economy that much. I do think Biden hurt the economy with his closing of these, made gas prices skyrocket for a year or two because he was attacking fossil fuels. I do think the Republicans, generally speaking, are better for the economy. But I'm just saying, okay, so economy is number four. Number three for me is the United States relationship to Israel, mm-hmm. with Israel. Biblically, mm-hmm. and spiritually, mm-hmm. and as our friend and partner forever in the Middle East, Israel, they've been under siege from terrorists. And if Harris gets in there as president, our friendship with Israel will be broken.
Yep.
She is for the other side.
Yes.
Okay? She thinks what Israel is doing in response to Hamas is genocide. She said that the other day, right? Did mm-hmm. she not?
Yep.
I'm not misquoting her.
Mm-mm.
She, so I don't know if she did, I don't think she said it explicitly like that, but a guy was in her audience.
She said it's real.
A guy was shouting in her audience that mm-hmm. she was speaking, and he said it's genocide. And he was escorted out, I think. And she said, "What he's talking about is real." Is that true?
Yes.
And she wasn't saying Israel. She's saying is real.
Mm-hmm. And Biden gave all that money. Let Iran have all that money.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Now she's VP. So that's number three for me. Economy's four. Our relationship, the United States relationship to Israel, is extremely important. And also, just as a side note, the holy sites are there,
right,
for Christians. And if you want to see those destroyed, and for Jews too, and for Muslims,
yep,
the holy, there's the Dome of the Rock, you know, the so number two for me is the border. Number four is the economy, number three is Israel, number two is the border. The border is we talk about that ad nauseum. The border is a big deal. You're gonna have to close down the border. We got to get law and order back with our immigration policies. Trump and Vance are the only people that are going to do that. The other, Harrison, what's his name, Walz,
yeah,
they don't believe in borders. They might say they
odd
do,
that
they
a guy named Walz doesn't believe in a border, but
do
yes.
they know it, Steve? That's yeah. a good point. That's why we hired you. All right, and number one. So number four is the economy. Number three is Israel. Number two is the border. This is for me personally. I'm not judging you. If you have a different set of agenda. Number one for me, and it always has been, for whoever is elected president, is the judges. The Supreme Court of the United States has an enormous impact on our country. Also, federal judges across America. I've said this before. As far as the universe goes, there's God Almighty, and He alone is Lord of the universe. But when you get down here to planet Earth, humans, the most the powerful people on the planet, at least in the United States, are federal judges. Mm-hmm. Even more so than the president. The Supreme Court and other federal judicial appointments, including appellate court appointments, are enormously important. The reason is we can pass good laws in the red states in particular, but if they're struck down by federal judges, if we have far left federal judges, we're going to have a far-left country before long. Mm-hmm. And if you get Harris and Waltz in there, you're going to have far, far lefties being appointed to federal judiciary, federal judges, including the Supreme Court. So, Trump proved really good on judges mm-hmm. during his 4 years as president, and he would again, I'm convinced, he would be a good president in terms of appointing judges that are follow the Constitution and are relatively conservative. And really conservative doesn't even mean anything in respect to judges in this respect. Do they follow the Constitution or not? Right. Mm-hmm. Do they try to make law from the bench?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and one last thought on that. Listen, federal judges, including Supreme Court justices, presidents come and go. These judges,
lifetime appointments.
They can go for 20, 30, 40 years sometimes. I don't know. I can't think of an example of a 40-year judge, but I mean they could if they're appointed when they're 35 and they retire when they're 75. That's 40 years. So the judges outlast the presidents. So anyway, that's my priority list. Go ahead.
I would add one too, and freedom of speech. I think freedom of speech will be in jeopardy.
I think that's related to the judges, but yep. Yes, I understand. Our constitutional First Amendment protections are going to be at jeopardy if the liberals get in.
I say there's great proof of that from the 4 years we've had of Biden and Harris.
Yeah.
They weaponized the Justice Department.
Yeah.
They weaponized the Justice Department against parents in Virginia.
Yes.
Who showed up at meetings concerned about a transsexual being allowed in girls' washrooms. And they were listed by the Attorney General, these domestic terrorists, basically, yeah. These parents. I think what we saw with the pro-life protester who FBI agents show up at his house, surround his house with weapons mm-hmm. to arrest him. What did he do? He showed up at a abortion clinic in Philadelphia.
Didn't do any violence or anything.
No. Understand. And it's very interesting. I'll go back to something that Kamala Harris said the other day when that guy showed up and said, Jesus is Lord. Remember what she said?
Yeah.
You don't belong here.
Right.
You belong at another rally down the street. I think she's very hostile to biblical Christianity. Very hostile.
Oh, yeah.
And the use of the term over and over again of the Biden administration, Harris, of misinformation. They dismiss anybody who disagrees with them, misinformation. Right. I believe they'll go after social media if social media is expressing a point of view. Why do you think Biden and Harris hate Elon Musk and the mainstream media? Because now he's produced a platform that is he's very conservative. So that's another issue. So I think, Chris, you know, to go back to what our interview was just before the break, I think Christians have to understand that our freedoms are in jeopardy. I believe they'll come after organizations that have conservative points of view.
Oh, they will. Yeah.
They will they will find a way. So this is a critical election, and the proof is in what we've seen in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, that's my number one as well. I would use the key word authoritarianism.
Yeah.
It goes under all the social media censorship, the weaponization of the government, and they are coming after the weaponization is not going to stop with Donald Trump and Elon Musk and the higher ups.
Nope.
They're going to come down to I was hearing something about AI. Then the IRS is able now with AI to look into everyone's bank account, no matter how small of a fry you are in the end, and that they have no qualms about holding you to account if you don't pay your taxes correctly, which it's their job. But the fact that they can access your bank account without your permission, just through AI searching the web and being able to decipher all that information, those are things that scare me.
Do they have to have a subpoena?
No, they don't know. No, they don't, because it's not that they are actively look. They do actively look at accounts, but the information is just there. AI, the ability for AI to...
Does the bank know?
They might. I don't know what you... It's not... They're not hacking a computer.
The reason I'm asking you that, and if you don't know the answer, that's okay. You can find out later. I understand the privacy issues, and they're very real. I'm trying to say... what do you call it? Artificial intelligence?
Yeah.
Can be used by the Internal Revenue Service to spy on your bank account?
That's what I'm hearing.
Okay. I want to know, do you have to have a subpoena to do that? And number two, is the bank notified? Does the bank know what's going on? If the bank doesn't know, it's notified, I don't know how you access it. You know what I'm saying?
I think you would be shocked at the amount of personal information that's out there on individuals.
Yep.
I'm acquainted with somebody whose job it is to investigate people who want to open up bank accounts. It is absolutely amazing what they can get out there, that's out there, information on your background, where you do business, all of those sorts of things. It's absolutely amazing.
Well, go ahead, Steve.
One of the stories I was going to bring in, I don't think we're going to get to it, but Act Blue, the Democrat PAC that raises money for Democrats, is under investigation in Congress. That is said that they are making donations in people's names without their knowledge. So it wouldn't be, it would be that we're donating in Tim Wildman's name. You don't, it's not coming out of your bank account, but yet they're doing it in your name. It's illegal. But one of the articles I had a website where you can go and check to see if your donation, if that has happened to you. You type your name in there, and if ActBlue has used your name, you'll find it. I type my name in there, and within a second, every political donation that I've had, which is a lot, and Tim, I typed your name in there, and I found two of your donations, and it took literally 5 seconds for that information to come up. So it's just there.
That's the brave new world we live in. Yeah.
It's pretty scary.
I don't even have Facebook or anything like that. But yeah, the information you can find out instantaneously is like
someone used to have to go through and check.
It's surprising, quite frankly, that people's identity isn't stolen more than it is. Hmm. Identity theft's a big problem.
Anymore, it's the anonymity of the fact that you're one among millions of people. Unless you stand out because you're super rich or you're super influential,
right.
What are the chances that they're going to get your identity? But it is.
The bad guys do. They get average people's identity and then open up bank accounts. And mm-hmm. you hear these horror stories.
Yeah.
You know, we had one of our colleagues here that had his wife had her her bank card used 3 times in 1 year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What am I trying to say? Stolen, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so it's crazy out there. But anyway, go ahead. Next story.
All right. We need to get to this. I know you guys were talking earlier last hour about the comparisons of Hitler and that everybody's calling Trump Hitler. Well, a deep dive by the Babylon Bee has come up with 9 reasons why Trump is like Hitler, and I'd like to give these to you. So this is breaking news. Did you know that Mein Kampf is German for The Art of the Deal? Don't look it up in the dictionary. Just trust me on that. 2, both were called Hitler by their political opponents. You know?
Okay.
Go think about that. If you rearrange the letters in Trump, eliminating the U, M, and P and adding H, I, L, and E, it does spell Hitler. And both briefly worked at McDonald's. You didn't know this, but Hitler liked to serve up a 9-piece chicken McNuggets meal. Adam just groaned. And they have the same exact mustache. Trump's is blonde, so you can't see it. And World War II and January 6th were basically the same. We all know that. So the comparison, the deep dive, the comparison is real.
That's not working.
You don't think it is?
Some funny stuff there. I'm just saying that the calling Trump Hitler and hoping that's going to move the needle is not working for the Democrats.
Right.
No. Did y'all see the meme? I think that's what you call it. And it had yesterday, it had Trump, and he was looking up at the golden arches.
Yes. Yeah, yes. I saw that.
Okay, he's looking up at the golden arches because he, you know, he worked at McDonald's fries for a half hour
the other day. Yeah.
So, and he's looking up there, and the Mac had been taken off.
Yeah, someone painted over the Mac.
Donald's.
Just says Donald's. That was funny.
I saw that. That's great.
That was funny. Yeah, I, you know, I don't think the left's hyperbole, is that what you call it?
Mm-hmm.
Against Trump, calling him Hitler and all that stuff, that's just not working with people.
And it's not working because the people don't trust the mainstream media.
Right.
That they're all in for the Democratic
Party.
He's
not Hitler.
No, he's not.
Hitler, it's just thrown around. That name is just thrown around.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it does a great disservice to the people who lived through that era. Because Adolf Hitler, he was a mass murderer. Mm-hmm. 6 million Jews were sent to the gas chambers. Hitler got into a world war, killing a lot of people in the surrounding countries in Europe. We all know this story. Americans died because of Hitler. So my point is, for you to just throw around the name Hitler and put it with a president you don't agree with because he has a ideology that you don't, see how they do that?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It's a loaded term. And by the way, did you realize that the original Antifa, the original anti-fascists, stormed the beaches at Normandy?
Yeah.
And they're using terms like fascist, but here's the other problem for the Democrats is Donald Trump's already been president for 4 years.
Right.
Yeah.
He could have, all the things they're warning us about.
If he was Hitler, he would have shown it, right?
If he was a fascist, he would have shown it the first four years.
I know.
He's the worst
Hitler
ever.
They're just trying to scare people.
Yes.
I guess the people who are left to scare. I just think people have made up their mind. You could vote tomorrow, mm-hmm. and it's not going to change anything between now and 12 days.
Yeah.
These stories about groping and all this stuff is not going to move the needle, Fred.
No, and the early voting, there's records being broken.
Yeah.
Even in western Pennsylvania that just went through that horrible hurricane damage, the numbers for
western
early...
Western Pennsylvania, North Carolina.
Western North Carolina, I'm sorry. The numbers showing of early voting is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and you know they're breaking for Trump.
Yes.
You know they are, and the Republicans. Also, I was looking last night, gentlemen, and I do use that term lightly, and that is there are three Senate seats that the Democrats have incumbents running that they should be comfortably ahead, and they're not.
That's right.
Pennsylvania is very close between McCormick and Casey.
Yes.
Casey the Democrat, McCormick the Republican. That's a very close race. You've got the race in Wisconsin between Tammy Baldwin, the incumbent liberal Democrat, and I forgot – what's the fellow?
He's
Montana.
Montana.
Okay. Which state?
He's Montana. I'm talking about Wisconsin. Who's a Republican?
Oh.
His name escapes me. Anyway, that is very close. And then there was another one. There was a third one that the Democrats should be winning handily that is close. Is it Sherrod?
Sherrod Brown.
Okay, I'm talking about the one in Ohio.
Isn't
there a Democrat incumbent in Ohio, Sherrod?
Yes.
Sherrod Brown is a Democrat.
Okay, my bad. Well, that person is being challenged, and it's a very, very close race, and you wouldn't think it would be. We'll be back tomorrow with Trivia Friday. Have a great afternoon, everybody.